is WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by TravelGuard.com. Yanks looking to get on the board in this 2024 World Series, down 0-2 after the first two frustrating games in Los Angeles. And now return home tonight, game three, first World Series game at the stadium, BT, in 15 years, obviously since 2009. One thing I was thinking about over the weekend, and obviously I do really genuinely feel like there is a path for the Yankees not only to get back in the series, but to still win this series based on their pitching in games one and two. And I do think Judge is going to get it going. I don't think he's as far off as the numbers would show. But it did hit me that, yeah, it's been 15 years since the Yanks have been in the World Series. Mm-hmm. It's been even longer since the Yanks have lost a World Series. And that pain of losing in the World Series, the further you go, the more it hurts. It's great, sure. High risk comes high reward.
Yeah.
But the pain of losing a World Series, you almost forgot what that's been like because you haven't had that happen since 2003.
That's a good point. Like, when you win after a prolonged drought, it feels better. And when you lose after a prolonged drought, the feelings are a little bit more intense here. No, I agree with that. I'm trying to find who's throwing out the first pitch tonight. Do we know yet?
No, I know.
I couldn't find it.
I don't know.
Pat, do you know?
We know that Fat Joe, you heard about Fat Joe.
Yeah, there? I know Fat Joe's going to be out there.
Yeah, instead of Fat Joe, maybe they should have the Fat Lady on standby for games four and potentially. I have to get that.
How about the Fat Boys? I used to love the Fat Boys back in the day.
One of those guys came to Home Depot once when I was working there. I forget which one.
Really? What? He worked at Home Depot?
Came into Home Depot.
Okay. Was it cool?
I don't really remember, dude. I was in my own world. I was taking care of my own business.
Yeah.
Fat Joe will be out there.
All right. Is he going to be as good as Ice Cube? That's a tough act to follow. That was unbelievable.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, you didn't. Did you see that?
I like Ice Cube.
Oh, that was good. Even the old school Dodgers jacket. I mean, he absolutely crummy. It's the Dodgers, but say what you got to say. He crushed it. Ice Cube was money.
I was debating on whether I should go to the stadium tonight or not. Now you just made me, Fat Joe, I forgot about that. Maybe go see a little concert.
Listen, Fat Joe's cool. I had no beef with him. I had him on the show, and he lauded my rapping, my beatbox exploits.
You said you love Fat Joe.
But I said I like him.
Is anybody, do we know Boyle? Anybody throwing out the first pitch or no?
I haven't seen that. Okay. I can double check.
Okay. I mean, that would be nice.
Didn't the Mets release their schedule several days in
press email? Like, yeah, game three, it was Doc and Darryl. Game four was Ventura and Alfonso. Game five was Cespedes. Harvey and Cespedes.
Yeah, I remember when they sent that out.
And it's just Fat Joe for now.
I don't know.
I got the schedule yesterday. It just says ceremonial first pitch. No name.
Nobody? Wow.
Any guesses here? I tell you what I would do. But they lost this one.
Evan and Tiki are doing the show from the stadium.
Yeah.
How would that make you feel? And throwing out the first pitch of today's Yankee game, let's welcome in Tiki Barber.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Evan.
No. No, I want to try to get...
Evan unleash a five hopper.
Evan and Tiki. They both... Who's got a better arm, you think, Evan or Tiki?
Tiki. Remember that play Tiki made in the charity softball
game? That's right.
That was a sick
play. Yeah, but that's just an athletic play. Like, 100%. An arm is a different story.
He's got an arm twice as good as Evan.
The one I remember... David Wilson, I remember. Remember him throwing out the first pitch? It was god-awful.
I didn't hear you.
The former running back, David Wilson, with the Giants?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him who threw out the first pitch. Obviously, it was going back years ago, maybe 9, 10 years ago, whatever it was.
Really?
I was like, my God. And you see, not just him, other football players. I'm like, my God.
I know.
These guys can't throw the ball.
How did you not play baseball for three years?
You're a professional athlete. You can't throw a ball. I'm not saying you got to throw it with high velocity or good movement.
Yeah.
You can't actually throw the ball.
It's a little tougher than you think. I mean, that's why if you don't grow up playing golf, there are a lot of people who become competent at golf when they start playing later in life. But it's very rare. I mean, you could have an 8, 9, 10 handicap, which is obviously a pretty good player, but their swing is still looking a little jacked because they didn't start until they were later. Like, there's something to be said for learning the natural flow of a throw, but no, I'm with you. It's embarrassing.
Last one before we get to the calls here. Who do you think's got the better arm, Tiki, Evan, or Marash?
Tiki, Evan, or Marash? I'm going to say Sean.
Me too. And of the three, Sean.
Sean what?
He looks like... It doesn't look like the athlete of the three.
But he's like the Bam Bam Bigelow type of athlete.
Oh, whatever. I agree.
The King Kong Bundy.
I would bet that Sean has a better arm than the other two.
Yeah.
Maybe better motion, whatever.
Yep.
But yet he's not that Evan's in good shape. Tiki is built like a Greek god.
Yeah, he is.
But Sean is...
Okay, who do you think wins in a foot race, Evan or Sean? Now, the easy thing is Evan because he's skinnier.
But
I think it's Sean because I think Sean's agility. I think he just... I don't think so Evan
too.
Has any.
Yeah.
He's the most hopeless athlete in the world.
Let's hope Evan's not wearing sweats out there to the stadium tonight. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Phil is calling from Shirley. What's up, Phil?
Boy, Sean is not a fathlete, okay? As a fathlete, I know a fathlete, and Sean Marash is not a fathlete. Okay,
Phil, hold on. I'm not saying he's elite, but what I'm saying is, compared to Evan, I think he's got a better chance to, whether it's an agility drill, a shoot, a jump shot, throw it a baseball. I'm going to put my money on Sean there. He's just more athletic.
I get it. Evan's a nerd, and Marash is a little bit of a fat slob.
Whoa. Hey, now, come on, buddy. Easy.
I mean, I love him. I'm a fat slob, too, so I can say that. You know what I mean? I have the privilege.
I don't even want to say it, but you know, another overweight person.
As a fat slob, I have full authority to say fat slob.
Okay.
But, boy, I want to talk about this World Series. Huge fan. Just as a baseball fan, like, what a matchup. The one thing, I hate questioning managers' decisions, but I feel like Boone has done such a bad job. And we question these decisions as they're happening. The first thing, taking Cole out for Holmes. I mean, that was embarrassing at that point. The one thing, I get the Nesta thing everyone's going crazy about. The one thing that's driving me crazy, and I heard you guys mention this, why is Trent Grisham on the team? Why are you not pinch hitting Dominguez in these spots? Why is he there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an answer for that. And thanks for the call. If he's there, he should be used to pinch hit. Like, to me, there was no justification for having Trevino hit. I'm sure that there were some analytics or matchup-based stuff that Boone went with Trevino.
Yeah.
Trevino, you can't tell me Trevino is a better threat at the plate than Dominguez.
No, maybe for contact purposes, but no. I mean, the reason why...
Then why would you go with him? Like, think about it. You have to... Like, if you woke up out of a lifelong slumber and I showed you a quick highlight reel of Dominguez offensively versus Trevino. And I said, hey, the game's on the line, and you, person who just woke up out of a lifelong slumber, based on what I just showed you, had to pick one guy to bat with the game on the line.
Yeah.
You're picking Dominguez every time.
I hear you. I mean, the only reason Grisham's really on the roster is, like, say if it's just a brutal lefty and you don't love the lefty matchup with Verdugo, and if you want to pinch it for Verdugo, you can do that, and then you can put Grisham in center, you know, Judge in left or Judge in right, and then Soto in the other spot, although I'd probably keep Soto in right. That's why he's on the roster, but, I mean, they don't utilize it much. It's not like it's a massive deviation from how he's managed this year. He very rarely relies on his bench because his bench is not good.
You know, I have a bigger issue. I know the pinch hitting thing was an issue, and the bench is not very good, but to the point the caller brought up before, like, my biggest issue, and multiple calls have brought that up, and we've discussed it, but we haven't discussed this angle of it yet. My biggest issue with Boone and the way that he manages / applies the data is that these data applicators, and by the way, Roberts is even worse. So I still give the Yankees a significant advantage in the dugout over Roberts. He is just asking to get beat, and somehow it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. When you base those decisions based on what is happening now versus what could happen down the road, for example, in game one, doing everything you can in the seventh inning to protect a one-run lead,
mm-hmm.
he fired all his shots
mm-hmm.
just to protect that one-run lead.
Yeah.
Assuming he was going to get to the ninth with that lead intact and have Weaver do what he needed to do. And to me, that's just not the right way to do it. Like, if you're going to take Cole out in the seventh, which he shouldn't have done, then let Holmes finish the seventh inning. Maybe go a little bit more. Instead, Holmes comes in for a little bit. Canely comes in. Canely again back out there in the eighth inning. Canely doesn't have it. And now, or not doesn't have it, but Canely allows the Ohtani double. And now you're saying, okay, well, I've made it to this point, and I'm going to fire my best shot bottom of the eighth with the one-run lead. As opposed to thinking like, hey, the Dodgers might be scoring some runs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't have five guys protect a one-run lead over three innings. I need maybe one or two guys to get it done. If they don't get it done, so be it. We need the bats to score. So then you burn Holmes, Canely, and Weaver.
Yep.
And what happens? The game ends up getting tied, and now you're out of good options in the 10th inning with the game still on the line in a tie. Like, you can't fire all those options just to protect a one-run lead that early on.
I found myself wishing that I knew there wasn't, but I was wishing the Ghost Runner still applied.
Yeah, I know.
That may have been their best shot. Honestly, I mean, start on second. Maybe get a little. You got to get a run. Maybe you know you're gonna get a run. Maybe get lucky. Maybe get two, and then maybe get further lucky by limiting them to one if you get two, or them zero if you get one. No, I mean it was a litany of mistakes by Aaron Boone, and he was really he was exposed. I mean he got an F game one.
Adam is in Connecticut. What's up, Adam?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
All right, man, what's going on?
Not too much. I just kind of preface this by saying I had a question for you guys. I was talking to my buddies earlier about this, most of which are Yankees fans. I'm not. I'm a diehard Mets fan, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But
yeah, you do.
All we've
you
been
should.
All
we've against been, the Yankees.
Well, yes, that's okay. True. And I am. I hate the Dodgers as well, but I am rooting against the Yankees. But I think all this conversation has to beg the question. I don't know that I've ever seen a manager, like, totally botch the first two games as bad as Aaron Boone has. Like, let's just summarize this entire thing. If they lose, whether it's a sweep, whether they win one game, whatever, if they lose, how does he keep his job?
No, he's going
to. We have to question.
He's going. Well, you can ask
and
me.
And that's what my buddies have been saying, too, that are Yankees fans. Like, he's not going to get fired, but how?
How did he botch game two exactly in your mind?
Well, the Trevino's decision. Right, weird decision, not a botchness, because they were losing.
The game was, I mean,
they hit Rodon and they never got a lead.
I would say Boone did a good job managing, because if you keep that game at 4-1 after your crappy starter goes 3 1/3 inning on the road in a playoff game with that lineup.
Yeah.
If you somehow manage your game, and he did with Cousins, Hill, Holmes, and then Leiter Jr. Now, again, the arms got to do their job, but Boone managed to keep that game close to have to give the Yankees an opportunity in the ninth, and they did. Now, again, I wouldn't have pinch hit Trevino myself, but I'm not going to say he botched that game.
How can he tell us after the game, and these were his words, looked taxed when Cole's last pitch was 98?
Well, I mean, those are...
What are you doing?
Now, in talking to people that cover the teams, that's what they'll tell you. Like, same thing with... What the hell was the example with Mendoza? Remember Mendoza in... Was it the Philly series?
Talking about Minaya or something?
No.
Oh, Carl Mendoza.
Maybe it was Minaya. Yeah, you might have been right. Maybe
hold on, Minaya... So
Mendoza took out somebody. I forget now. These games all jumble together
really
in my mind.
Do.
I hate my old self here, because I used to be able to remember everything, and now it's like my brain is mush at 45 years of age, which is embarrassing. But Mendoza
he's
took...
He's not wrong. I hear you.
And it might have been when he went to Diaz too early, and even though Diaz got the job done, remember I was angry at that?
Uh-huh.
I forget what the exact situation was, but the reports were, well, Mendoza, with his trained, experienced eyes,
mm-hmm.
was able to see something that you can't see, that we as fans can't see. And that would be the same way that it was spoken to us about Cole. Well, Boone's trained eye, all the data and analytics that go into it, who knows what the RPMs and but all those things that they see, it's now preemptive to get him out of the game because they think he's starting to peter off. I call BS on all of that. There may be metrics that measure that. Maybe Boone's eye is in fact better than all of ours. However, I'm still of the belief you leave a pitcher in until it's clear
mm-hmm.
when he gets knocked out. Like, I'd rather after
like
the fact.
David, I mean, David Cone. Torrey probably left him out. Pardon me. Buck probably left him out too early or too late in 95 when he's throwing those 55-foot hoppers against Seattle. Like, he just lost it. You could tell.
Okay.
And Coney was just grinding through it because he's Coney. But, yeah, maybe you don't let him get to that point or you don't run him out there with 117 pitches. But when you're at 88... Like, and what's frustrating is that the Mendoza example that you cite, Mendoza's more of a gut manager than Boone has been. So when you tell me that, and you still don't have to love what Mendoza did, but it makes a little more sense.
I forget
because
the exact damage.
It's all good. But he's looking at what he's seeing, and he's managed more with his gut this year and a little less on the numbers. Like, he's had more freedom to do that than I think Boone has. So I would trust his eyes more there, where a guy, Boone, who generally always leans on the numbers, he's telling us that he's going to trust his eyes and he looked taxed. Well, no, that's a point that I prefer that you rely on the analytics. And if he would have, or if his ace would have stepped up and showed some sack and said, get back in there and don't even think about coming out on this mound. This is my game. Guess what? At minimum, it's 1-1.
Yeah.
And the Yankees have a win.
And I don't care what the metrics may be. If Cole can't get through.
He wussed out. It's got to be said about Garrett Cole.
Yeah, well,
demand the baseball there.
Maybe he was tired. Maybe there was something to it. Who knows? But if he's gassed after 88 pitches,
are you gassed
on extra rest?
Yeah,
like extra rest.
Yeah, I know. But are you gassed when I get it if the radar gun said something below what he usually averages. Now, I know that okay, you can still throw 98 and it's straight as a string. And I understand that these guys know a lot more baseball than we do. And they're looking for little minute things in the mechanics and body language. I know. And the RPMs. I get it. It's one big evaluation. But 98 is still 98 in the year 1950 and in the year 2092. 98 is 98. And he doesn't average 98. He doesn't average 97. Garrett Cole's more about 94 change, 95. That represented 3 miles per hour over his average this season. And you tell us he's taxed, I'm not buying it.
It is WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from TravelGuard.com. Game 3 tonight at the stadium. Yanks, Dodgers. Yanks need to get on the board. To me, again, BT, the key is going to be, I know Judge needs to hit. To me, the key is going to be their pitching. It's been good the first two games. It's terribly disappointing that even with that good pitching the first two games, they came away empty-handed in L.A. But if Clark Schmidt pitches well tonight, I do think the bats will get going for the Yanks.
A very cliche, you know, one pitch at a time. I mean, yeah. Make some plays, but, you know, situationally hit, catch the baseball, put up some zeros, go win the game. I mean, it's crazy because it's the exact opposite. I don't know if you guys heard this. It was a couple hours ago at this point now, but the Yankees in the 81 World Series, they won their first two games and they lost four straight. And in 1996, when they won the World Series, they lost those first two, as we all know. Well, the first of it, they got destroyed. Andrew Jones hit the two home runs. They lost 12-1, got rocked. I was at that game two. It was like 4-0 or 4-1, fairly inept as well. And then they won four straight. So there's no guarantee of anything except that the Yanks are in the World Series and you need four to win it and Dodgers need to get two more.
Don is calling from Long Island. What's up, Don?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I think it was Sal earlier who said, you know, you want to change this lineup now at all times. And I don't agree with the people who are saying push Judge back. I don't want to see my captain batting sixth or seventh, but I would like to see him lead off, match him up with Ohtani, and I would bring him back to that.
Let me ask you a question. So if you were of the mindset that you want to move him, and you just made the call that you are, I want to know, what do you think putting him first will do? Is it just the presence of Soto, or is it something else? Because to me, when you move somebody, what you're really saying is, obviously, hey, this isn't working out, so I'm going to try something else to get you going, which might put more pressure on Aaron Judge.
I don't think it's so bad when you're down 0-2 in the World Series to say, hey, this isn't working. Let's try something new. And okay. It doesn't need to be a punishment. It doesn't need to be, pushing him back in the lineup.
I got you. Okay.
I think batting him up first, and if this crowd can spread some positivity and bring him, just cheer him as loud as they can, I think it could go a long, long way.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. I'm not messing with the lineup. Gleyber is on fire offensively right now. On fire. And you could see the confidence that he has. He's hammering the baseball. Soto could not be any hotter or more dangerous in the postseason. I'm not messing with that. And where are you going to put Judge? You're moving him further down? You're going to flip him and Stanton? Like, I would not do it. I'm telling you from a different perspective where I'm not rooting for the Yankees in this series. Having those three atop the order strikes the fear of the sports gods in you. Like, you don't want to face it. It's a matter of time before Judge gets going. Now, problem is, time's running out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the Yankees lose two in a row, that's it. They're done. If the Yankees lose two out of three, there is no more. You're not going back to L.A. for game six or potentially game seven. He's got to get it going starting tonight, but I don't think the answer to get him going is moving Judge around the order.
I'm not moving him. I'm definitely not. They're not moving him. They're definitely not. But, let's see your answer and mine. If we did agree that we would move him,
yeah,
what spot would you move him to? Under the premise we're not doing it, but if we were going to, where would you put him? Flip with Soto?
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not messing with the first two guys in the order.
Okay, who are you going to pick third then? Because it's not going to be Stanton.
Yeah, why not?
I don't like him third.
Me neither, but if you're asking me what I would do if I move him, geez. I mean, that's why I probably wouldn't. I don't like any of the... I know Jazz is starting to look a little bit better here offensively. Stolen base, a big element. I'm not putting him that high in the order.
No, I can't bet him third.
If I absolutely had to, I would flip him and Stanton.
I think I would flip him and Soto.
Yeah, but now you're...
If I want to get the big gun going, you know, having the other big gun behind him when he's hot, it's not a bad thing.
See, I would just go based off of who do you think the two best bats are right now in a Yankee lineup?
The first two hitters.
Yeah, right. So why would I mess that up?
No, I'm not.
And then if I were to ask you who's their third best hitter right now, who would you say?
The Yankees' third best hitter, Jazz played, talking about the whole postseason? Oh, well, Stanton, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Well, which is why then I'd flip him. So I'd have the three best hitters, Gleyber, Soto, Stanton. Not overall, I'm talking about right now.
I know what you're saying.
That's the reason why I would flip it.
I just can't have his lack of base. Yeah, I mean, they're not moving him, but hey, the onus is on him. You know, you shouldn't have to move mountains to have a 32-year-old in his prime superstar who's about 2 weeks away from actually taking home another MVP. How about you figure it out?
Yep.
Which I think you and I both trust that you will.
Tony's in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Tony.
Man, long time I haven't talked to you here. Great show. Fantastic. You two are the greatest team on sports
radio.
Well,
thank you, Tony. We appreciate it. What's your point, please?
Yeah,
thank
you. I love you guys. So, listen, I just want to – I agree. I wouldn't touch Judgy. I would just leave him there. I'm just – I'm pleasantly surprised what we've gotten. I just thought we were going to get knocked out in the first round. For me personally, here's what I think. I think Booney is going to do Booney. Booney is going to do it his way all the way to the end. His mentality to me is I've done it my way. It's gotten me this far. I'm sticking it out. We just have to hit. That's it. We have to hit. And without hitting, we're going to come out of this losers and being swept. So I can't believe that I'm saying those words, but I'm not fearing it. I'm leaving it with hope. And I'm going to hope for the best. I let go of the stress, the frustration, the aggravation, the anger. I let go of all of that. You know why? Because it's not worth it. After game one, I said, here we go. So I'm just hoping for the best, guys.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you guys, man, let's have a great series. Hopefully that home cooking coming back home tonight will do it. I love listening to you guys on weekends. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm with you, BT, when you were saying yesterday that, Saturday, when you were saying that you're going to the graveyard with Judgy, I'm with you on that.
Got you.
You've been spot on the whole way. Hey, have a great series the rest of the way. Congratulations,
thank you,
on your Mets, brother.
Well, thank you. I mean, I didn't do anything for it, and congratulations on what? They lost. And nobody's hanging a banner for winning a division series. And we'll get to the Mets. We'll have plenty of time to get to that in the offseason and all that lies ahead. Right now, it's about the World Series. And I mean, it might come down to, what if Judge hits three home runs tonight, but Clark Schmidt doesn't have it? Then what?
Then Judge is not long, he's no longer crucified.
All right, but I'm just saying, like, to me, that's how I thought the series was going to play out through the first couple of games, or really throughout the series. The Judge was going to hit, the Yankees were going to hit, but the Dodgers were going to hit a little bit more. And so far, we've seen the Dodgers hit a little bit more than the Yankees, but the Yankees have pitched much better than I thought that they would. That would be encouraging to me, even being down 0-2, especially with the feel at the stadium tonight in the Bronx. And it's easy to say, well, game three, a huge game. It's different more than just being down 0-2. To me, it's more about, can they continue pitching to this Dodger team, and will the home crowd be enough to, and the last licks be enough to get the Yankees offense over the top of LA?
See, to me, when I look at this Yankees team from start to finish, the consistency, much more than the hitting, has been the pitching. So I'm not surprised that they're pitching well at all. Now,
right. But against this lineup?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers are a powerhouse, but I didn't think that the Yankee pitching would crack here. I mean, think about the way they carried the mail for the first 2 months of the season.
You thought it would be a high-scoring series, though?
No. I did. I thought the Yankees would hit more, and I thought the Dodgers would hit a little more as well.
Right.
I thought there'd be a couple. And by the way, there still might be. I said on Friday, you know, I could see a 7-6 game. I could see an 8-7 game. I wouldn't be surprised if we get one of those here. But, like, I didn't think that... I didn't think that Gerrit Cole would beat 88 pitches, but I didn't think that Gerrit Cole would get rocked. I wasn't as confident in Rodon this time around. I didn't love him going on the road, and he was rocked. But the bullpen, since they reconfigured things, has been outstanding with Holmes in his new role, and Weaver, obviously Canely, who's got like 59 straight changeups. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
They did, by the way. Everybody picks on Cortez and those decisions.
Yeah,
the high leverage arms blew the lead.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I mean, that did happen. It was one run. It was a bad defense as well, but they did blow the lead.
Yeah, and I have not gotten on Cortez. I've gotten on the decision to use Cortez. I'm giving him a pass. If anything, I'm showing him a little respect more so because he's willing himself and putting his career in jeopardy, and I respect that. But the Yankees pitching's been real good. It's been really good for a long time, And from a lot of different figures, Clark Schmidt got hurt. Other guys stepped up. Clark Schmidt comes back. He stabilized. I think he pitched well tonight. And I'm not so sure about Heel tomorrow. That could maybe be the high-scoring game against their bullpen. But I think Clark Schmidt steps up and pitches a good game.
And they're going to need that tonight.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Michael's in Cranford. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
I think to BT's point, with Cortez, the thing that gets so frustrating is I thought Boone managed the first two series really well. Everything he touched was gold against two mediocre teams. Then he was managing that game really well, which made the Cortez call so bad is that it was so obvious. These other callers that are going in and saying there was, you know, it was a coin toss. It was obvious that if you put Hill in, like A-Rod said, he's showing you a different direction on the arm, the way he comes in. If you lose there, okay, it worked in the other two series. It was an obvious pick. But the biggest issue, and you guys excoriated me when I called in July, is Judge can't hit under pressure. I called you guys. You took me to task. And I was upset. And now we're in the series. And A-Rod the other night talking about the expanded zone and everything. You know what, A-Rod? Come out and say, I went through the same thing because this guy has A-Rod virus. It was the same thing, if you guys remember.
I do.
He couldn't hit BT in the postseason, and he had a look like, I just want to go sit down. Yeah. Judge has the same look.
No way. No way does he have that same look, Michael, and thank you for the call. No way.
I feel like, I don't feel the same look there.
Yeah, I mean, he's Aaron Judge. So you and I disagree, BT, on where Judge is at right now. I still think he's closer than the numbers would say. The numbers are awful. He's striking out, obviously, a ton. He's coming up in big spots and has not gotten it done. The worst thing that I saw from Judge was getting beat by that fastball. And it wasn't that he just got beat by the fastball. It was that he wasn't looking fastball there. It shows you that his head is all over the place, so much so that the pitcher could challenge him and actually get a fastball by him. I don't think that's going to happen again. You want to test him again and try to do that, you're going to get burnt by him. You want to continue to pitch around Soto or walk Soto and get the Judge, eventually you're going to be playing with fire here. I don't believe it's pressure with Judge. I think it's been a little bit of circumstance, maybe trying to do too much, and then it's kind of snowballed a little bit. I think he's coming out of it in a big way. My biggest question just remains, can the Yankees continue to pitch the way that they have against the Dodgers?
Now, he very well might bang one, 435 feet first at bat tonight, and it's a moot point. Yankees going away, and Judge is back, and Yankees eventually win a championship here. I know he certainly has the capability to do it. I don't necessarily expect it, and I'm generally the other way. Like, it's funny, a lot of times we have these conversations, like with the Jets, I need to see it before that was your position. I need to see it before I actually believe it. And I was like, nah, listen, this roster's outside of solid. This roster's really good. I think they could be really good. I'm kind of taking a page from your book on this because I don't like the way he's taking pitches right now. And when I look at a hitter, I could bore everybody to tears about getting in the right count and doing all the things mechanically that you have to do. But when you are not taking a pitch that is so clearly a ball and you don't look like you, that means you don't recognize it early. That means that you are definitely thinking about swinging. And I'm talking about balls that are off the plate, not something that's like 2 or 3 inches. I mean, that's wide. Like you can tell a lot by somebody's take. And I don't like his takes right now.
Charlie's in Staten Island. What's up, Charlie?
BT and Sal, what is up, everybody? I want to leave the fans with this. Just remember, they are filming a Hollywood movie, and that's why you see Nestor Cortez, because it was the most craziest thing ever in that spot, all right? They're filming a Hollywood movie. They could take the first two chapters. If we get the last one, that's all that matters. Let's go. Brett Gardner needs to throw out the first pitch tonight. If Brett Gardner throws out the first pitch tonight, it goes 3-2 back to L.A. Yankee fans, let's go, baby.
There you go, Charlie, and thank you for the call. Hey, he was all fired up. I think it's too late to... I mean, they got to have a decision. If somebody is throwing out the first pitch, I would assume they know it by now.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be Brett, although it would be a nice move. I mean, they've got an issue. I mean, Brett Gardner's not exactly feeling the Yankees these days. They got a little problem between the two.
Dan is calling from Seaford. What's up, Dan?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Do you think that because he knows Cole's coming back for Game 4, that he didn't really want to tax them too much, and he thought the bullpen could take care of game one and he'd have them, you know, back on game four instead of taxing them and make them go 110 pitches maybe?
No.
Is that a possibility? Is that what you're thinking? You don't think
so? I'm not going to say it's not a complete impossibility, but I don't think that that's it. I just think that he overreacted. And I also don't think that Gerrit Cole gave any visible sign of resistance, which to me, I won't forget. Mike Mussina was a guy who really bothered me as a game. Our Hall of Fame, whatever. All right. But Mike Mussina, to me, was, for as good as he was just a little soft. Like, he didn't defend his hitters. We talked about Pedro hitting Jeter and Sorgal. Remember that at the stadium that day? Back to back, he hit them both in the hand, both left the game, and both went to the hospital. And he didn't do anything about it, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. Right. Everybody else on that team would have, except him. And, however, he did two things, you know, that I always respected. Number one, he told Torrey, get back in there. And another time, he came out of the bullpen, which he was very much a creature of habit, and he rolled the double play. So, at least Mussina, who I was never really connected to in terms of like, oh, it's my guy. And I think Yankee fans probably agree with me on that. Gerrit Cole is the exact opposite, but I lost a point for him the other night. I have to keep it real. And you're at 88 pitches. It's the World Series, man. You've missed 20-something starts this year. You couldn't control it. You've always been a bull. You've always taken the baseball for the Yankees, 32 starts, 33. He's been a May Hall of Famer. That was your moment, and you said, I'm good, go to the bullpen. And I don't know how anybody could do that when you're the best pitcher on the team.
Big Bob is in Smithtown. What's up, Big Bob?
Hey, guys, how you doing? It's been a while. I'm still sick to my stomach because of Boone. I think that was one of the worst brain-dead managerial decisions made in the history of sports. You do not bring Cortez in. I don't care if that was Sandy Koufax. He had a layoff. He didn't have a good year. He gave up big
hits. Why is Cortez on the roster, Bob?
You shouldn't have put him on the roster.
Okay, well, but you should have called us then Friday, and thank you for the call. You should have called us on Friday and said that. I don't remember. I don't know about you, BT. I mean, all week long when the talk was Cortez was going to be on the roster, I don't remember taking one call that said Nestor Cortez shouldn't be on the roster.
No, we didn't take any because it was such seemingly just a little secondary piece of the puzzle. The one thing that I did say is, I didn't anticipate that moment where they'd shove him in there.
Right.
Jeez, I did say I would anticipate that Boone's going to ease him in and, you know, maybe something earlier or middish in the game to keep it from going off the rails so he can kind of ease into the series. And I stand by it. I mean, you know, in that situation, and I'm not mad at Cortez. He's got a lot of heart, but he's been a little short on stuff his entire career. He has not had a good season. He has not been healthy, and that's not a role he's ever done.
With the Yankees having a 2-1 lead late in that game, that part of the order came up twice, if I'm not mistaken. The first time was in the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
Canely was in to Correct. Face Ohtani. Their guys, Canely and then Weaver, gave up the one run
Correct.
To tie the ball game.
Correct.
So he already went with his. It wasn't like he said, well, here we go. First time Ohtani's up in a high leverage spot in the seventh inning with a lead, I'm bringing in Cortez. He went with his best. They didn't get the job done. Then again in the 10th, okay, you're already out of your best options. No Canely, no Holmes, no Weaver. He decided that Cortez was better than Hill. So think about what we're talking about here. It's not like he had many options. It was really either Cortez or Hill. I personally would have gone with Hill, but not because of Ohtani, because I liked his matchup better against Betts. Either way, you were going to, in the normal scenario, you're going to have to face Betts. Nobody anticipated the foul ball
yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then either way they walked him, you're going to have two lefties and Mookie Betts. So I probably would have gone Hill myself. I don't think it's as bad as everybody's making it seem, though, with Nestor Cortez in that spot.
I think it's unacceptable when you have a guy who throws from the same side of same side of the rubber with really good stats, in healthy and in the flow of the playoffs, and you know, just to me, it's an abominable move. I cannot justify that at all. I mean, the guy's rusty; he's not great to begin with. It's not like you brought in, I don't know, man, like. If you brought in like another lefty, whether it's David Wells or Guidry, and they missed a lot of time, but you just ask him to do too many things that just aren't right, beginning with the fact that it's an entirely different role as a reliever.
He did get Ohtani.
But he didn't get the other guy.
I know, but nobody's perfect. I mean, there's no.
Well, yeah. You got to be perfect in that spot if you want to win a World Series. You at least have to deploy the most intelligent weapon at your disposal. And when you ignore the guy who's actually done the job and helped you get here, to me, it's a colossal miss.
Peter's on Staten Island. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. How are you? What's going on?
What's up, Peter?
Hey, Pete.
Not much. So I just wanted to touch on the whole possibly moving around the lineup. I agree. I think Judge should probably move down to the two hole. Let Soto protect him a little more. He'll probably see a couple more pitches. And obviously, everyone's going to be scared to pitch to Soto, right? The guy doesn't strike out a lot. He obviously puts the bat on the ball. You get Judge up before him, and he has the potential to see a couple more pitches. And obviously, you still have Stanton behind Soto, who's absolutely out of control right now.
No, he's not.
I just think that's the right move.
No, thank you for the call, Peter. I can push back on that very easily. Who's to say that Soto's success is not a byproduct of having Judge behind him? And I'll go further. Let's say you do flip-flop and have Judge second.
Yeah.
You strike Judge out. Soto's up with Giancarlo behind him. I'd be much more careful with Soto, knowing that I could get Giancarlo out if I throw him pitches out of the strikes. Again, I'm not minimizing Giancarlo, but...
That's why I don't want to put Stanton third when we had that conversation before.
Understood.
A lot of holes in right. that. He's been great, but there's still holes, as we know.
That's why I leave it alone if I'm the Yankees. All right, that does it for us. Thanks for listening to BT and Sal here on WFN's Yankee Game Day, presented by Travel Guard. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from TravelGuard.com. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Pat Boyle, who's in for Hoff as well. Good luck tonight, BT. Need a win.
6-3 Yanks, Chisholm, big night. Jazz, play that tune.
Judge is going deep. I think the Yanks roll them tonight.
Let's go.
Offensive night. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Evan and Tiki, live from Yankee Stadium, coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.